Yeah, I rooted for them the last 7 days. It kind of felt like it needed to happen, especially our conversation we have over the weekend that Rhea Ripley's probably better taking on Raquel Rodriguez without a tag team title. But it seems like we may get Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan first. Because earlier tonight on Raw, as you saw earlier, Chelsea Green, and Sonya Deville won the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. And by the way, if I sound a little bit under the weather, it's because I am. So we're going to get right into the show and get out of here as quickly as we can today. A little different format as far as discussing Raw. I was thinking about it. You know, based on the feedback over the weekend, rather than just get into every little goddamn segment, let's talk about the great, the good, the mid, and the bad. Do we really ever get ugly anymore? I mean, ugly is really stretching it. I mean, but I think we'll break down tonight's Raw in those categories. Not a bad episode of Raw, you know. And I tell you, when you divide each segment into a particular category, you find a lot more going in the good category than the great category. Because for me, only one part of Raw tonight I thought was great. A lot of good, a little bit of mid. You know, when we talk about Big Red, Big Reed. Yeah, you'll see why I said Big Red in a little bit. Listen, before we get into Raw, give me about 5 minutes. Just give you a couple of quick news updates. This is stuff you'll definitely want to know about. First of all, let's talk a moment about Bayley. All right, over the weekend, you know, everybody and their mother replayed the same clip over and over again. Basically concerned, and I don't blame anybody. She was in a match over the weekend. I think it was, what, Charlotte versus Asuka versus Bayley? Might have been a three-way. Maybe it was a tag match. I don't know. But all I know is that, and I have the video for you also, too. I actually got two video clips for you. She landed awkwardly on her leg, and she immediately grabbed her surgically repaired knee, and that's it. They put up the X sign, and she was taken out. Now, for those that have access to video, that's tuning into the video, if you look on your screen, watch Bayley, look at the right leg. Ah, there you go. There you go. Holding that knee. And you know what? Charlotte coming over, checking her. Asuka showing a little bit of concern as well. And people feared the worst. You know, you think about, damage control. Dakota Kai out with a pretty serious injury. That storyline with Io Sky and Bayley, they are milking that shit. And we almost had disaster yesterday where she could have blown out her knee. And that's it. No conclusion with that storyline with Io Sky, which we're a little bit confused as we talked about on Saturday. They're still playing her off more as a heel than anything else. I mean, you know that crowd wants to open up and cheer for her. And in some cases, Asuka comes off as a babyface still. A lot of people feel that way. So last night, Bayley went on Twitter and posted a picture of her icing her knee, and she said, "I'll be all right. Thanks, everyone." So, you know, does that really give you any consolation? She's icing her knee. She says, "I'll be all right." You know, we've seen people who blew out a knee or tore a shoulder, and they're like, "Oh, I'll be all right. I'll be back. Don't worry. It's not career ending. So we're still a little bit concerned. Until last night, and I want to give a shout out to Abby on Twitter, at Bliss Statements. She is the one that posted this video. And as you will see, look closely on your left, Bayley is walking out of the arena with her bag. Apparently, it was just a twist and a sprain, and she will be okay. They are doing an MRI to play it safe, But I guarantee you, 95 out of 100 websites did not show you that video. You know, just like the Don Callis stuff, which we talked about yesterday, people clickbaiting that he was attacked by a fan. No, he was not attacked by a fan. He was attacked by a photographer, not even attacked. He was taken down by a photographer because he pushed another photographer. And yes, that photographer was not smart to the pro wrestling business. But, you know, when you hear Don Callis attacked by fan, that is much different than what actually went down. So Bayley appears to be okay. Fingers crossed, nothing comes back on the MRI, but I wanted to give everybody a straight-up update as far as Bayley goes. Now, as far as this, I've talked about this before, man. And, you know, social media, and believe me when I say this, this does not apply to 96% of you out there. All right, this applies to the toxic, the awful, the garbage, the scum. And I will say this, and I'm going to say it. That's one thing about my shows. If you notice, you know, I don't get, like, rabid hate against me because I'm saying it in a respectful way. And I call things out, I think, pretty fairly. Even this, with the stuff over the weekend with the Shotzi JD stuff, and, you know, I made the comments I made. It's funny, as soon as I reminded everyone, the second comment I posted, all the hate stopped. I was like, now it's staring at them right in the face. If they continue, then you know they're doing it just to fuck around. I got to vent about something. This pisses me off. No, I'm not mad at Ridge Holland. All right? If you're not aware, this past Friday on SmackDown, you had Ridge Holland and Sheamus versus Pretty Deadly. And unfortunately for Elton Prince, he separated his shoulder. It was following a move by Ridge Holland. And you guys know exactly where I'm going with this. The people out there that have never forgiven Ridge Holland for what happened to Big E, even though accidents happen and even though a lot of people have stepped up and said that, look, you know, Ridge Holland is not to blame here. I don't know. I'm not out there in the ring. I can't micro-analyze the move and what happened to Big E. But one thing is for certain. Elton Prince fell. And when he leaped up and ate the pounce and fell, came down, he came down on his shoulder. This was not at the result of Ridge Holland. But again, social media ignores the facts and decides they're going to go after Ridge Holland balls hard and do everything they can to try to ruin this guy. Remember, this guy got death threats maybe a couple of months ago because, you know, it was like the anniversary or something with maybe Big E's injury. I mean, and I'm going to show you the clip. And the clip I'm going to show you is somebody in the medical field on Twitter that actually showed everyone, look, guys, you know, this was not Ridge Holland. This was not the belly to back. It's the way that Elton Prince lifted and came down. It's just, and people don't want to hear it. They want to ignore it. For those on video, look at your screen very quickly. Watch how he goes down. Watch how he goes down. There you go. He went, and again, but people don't want to know the truth. But I'm going to say something. It's something I've said before. No, he is not forced to say anything, but I'm going to say it. You know, everybody pointed out, in defense of Ridge Holland, everybody pointed out this weekend that Xavier Woods stepped up not too long ago and said, hey, man, you know, leave the guy alone. You know, stop with the death threats and everything else. And that's cool for him to do. But there's someone that is not opening his mouth. and you know who I'm talking about. Now, that tells me that there is some legit anger, bitterness. Look, could you blame Big E? Look at what happened to not only his career, but his livelihood, his quality of life. Now, he's making the most of it, and he's trying to get back, and we pray to God that he could get back at 110%. But when all these death threats are going on, I'm telling you, a lot of people immediately looked to Big E to see out of his mouth, hear it, see it typed. Leave the guy alone. Stop with the death threats. And guess what? I didn't see anything written or said. Xavier Woods said it. Big E did not. And after all his time, even Rich Holland deactivated his Twitter. I feel really bad for that guy. I feel awful for Big E. It was an accident. It's easier to said than done. It didn't happen to me. It didn't happen to you. But here we go once again, that because of the bitter anger towards Ridge Holland, this happens and people are calling for his head. It's fucked up, man. Totally, totally fucked up. All right, two more news tidbits, then we'll talk about Raw. Want to talk briefly about Eric Young and about Nick Aldis. One of the stories going around is true. One of the stories going around is bullshit. Eric Young. If you go check out Saturday's episode of the Don Tony Show, we talked about Eric Young most likely being at Slammiversary, and we were joking that it appears that Eric Young has been released from the WWE once again. We ended up being right. The report going around that Eric Young requested his release because of Vince McMahon, yeah, it's 100% true. But the story going around is a little bit incomplete. Once the Endeavor deal was announced, and Ari Emanuel, is that a guy's name, announced that Vince McMahon would be executive chairman of WWE, that is when Eric Young said, you know what, I want out. Yeah, that is true. But people did not mention the Endeavor deal. They just said, oh, Vince is back, and that's why. No, it's once Vince was announced as being executive chairman, that's when he requested his release and was granted 90-day no-compete, got paid for those 3 months, showed up on Impact Wrestling, he is gone. That kind of explains now a little bit of the odd treatment towards Nikki Cross the last bunch of months. You remember Nikki Cross earlier this year in the back, drawing with chalk and figures and teasing numbers and dates and everything had to do with sanity. And then they were doing a little bit of the stalking of Candice LeRae. And then ultimately it was going to be Sanity versus Gargano and Loomis and Nikki Cross going out again. And then it just stopped. It fizzled out. And then about maybe, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Nikki Cross once again crossed paths with Candice LeRae. Would you be my partner? And then Candice LeRae gets beat up and Nikki Cross has a meltdown. Because honestly, with Eric Young requesting his release, Sanity appears not to be happening. So never took off, never really took off. So this kind of explains a Nikki Cross tonight getting squashed like a grape to Shayna Baszler. Yeah, that was one of the mid segments tonight. I get it. Shayna Baszler now portray her as an unstoppable force, you know, just go running through people. I get it. But Nikki Cross, you know, I kind of feel like that's probably the wrong person they should have done it to tonight, especially because they don't even have her in NXT right now. I mean, let this sink in. Dana Brooke is getting more of an opportunity right now than Nikki Cross. Let that sink in a little bit. Nikki Cross recently getting her degree, you know, college degree. Very, very smart woman. sees that, you know, maybe pro wrestling may not be my livelihood for the rest of my career. But, you know, get squashed tonight by Shayna Baszler. So, yeah, what's Birdie saying? Eric Young is washed? Well, yeah, I guess. You know, I mean, honestly, Eric Young is not on my radar. See, I saw your chat. I do look, but I'm doing a show also, so I glance. I glance. And for everyone out there that knows this, if you ever see me do this, if you tuned in to yesterday, you know why. All right. So Eric Young requesting his release and being granted because of Vince, that is true. 100% true. Now, let me, so let's make it official. Bye-bye, Eric Young. Now we only have to talk to you on about you on occasional Wednesdays. But we have to clear up some bullshit. And it has to do with Nick Aldis, the former Magnus. Anybody remember that? Nick Aldis. He is officially done with Impact Wrestling. We talked about this months ago, that he had a very short-term deal. Couple of dates, get back a little bit in the ring, little TV time, little exposure, gone. He is done with Impact as of right now. Now, the reports going around that Nick Aldis is on WWE's radar, but as a producer, is a pretty much a lie. They know Nick Aldis still wants to wrestle. All right, if they were to bring in Nick Aldis, he would be brought in as a wrestler. The people pay very close attention at the people who started that shit. These are the same people that will put that will that reported that Jay White, WWE is extremely interested in Jay White, and they write that after they know Jay White already agreed to a deal for AEW. So then a couple of days later, Jay White signs with AEW. Oh, he chose AEW over WWE. They've done that with others as well. You know, so this is why they're doing it, to make it look like WWE would mismanage Nick Aldis if they brought him in. The Thunder Rosa stuff from back in the day, yeah, that was true. But in this case, not true. Not true. Would Nick Aldis make a great producer in the future? Absolutely. But right now, Nick Aldis still has a lot to bring to the table. Personally, I think Nick Aldis would be great in NXT. Problem is, right now with Carmelo Hayes, you know, having the reign, like, this might not be the best time to bring Nick Aldis to NXT. I think he would stand out like a sore thumb. I think he would pretty much, suspension of disbelief, he should dominate everybody, beat the shit out of everybody. So the reports going around about the Nick Aldis producer stuff, don't believe it. Oh, mark this down on your calendar. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Now we know the air date. July 30th, Family Feud, the WWE men versus the WWE women. You got Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, Big E, Seth Rollins, Xavier Woods, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Bayley, and Natalya. So, yeah. July 30th. Make sure you check that out. If you are interested, last week, Kev Castle and yours truly did a three-hour show analyzing a lot of the WWE and NXT rosters, see whose stock has gone up, down, skyrocketed, plummeted over the last 12 months. Well, because the reception has been so big and everybody loved this, you know, one-year reflection, this Tuesday, Kevin and I return. We will be doing AEW this week. And that is going to be really interesting because there are some names, when you throw them out there, I don't think people realize how much the stock has gone down for some people. So that will happen tomorrow night live. If you're not part of our Patreon family, no worries. It'll be on DonTony.com between midnight and 1 a.m. So we got a big night tomorrow. And NXT. You know what? Let's throw it out there right now. NXT tomorrow. Big night as well. I mean, look at this. We got Wesley And if you're Kevin Patrick, it's Wesley. Wesley. Kevin Patrick, man, I can't. You remember when he first started doing commentating on Raw and I thought he was hyperventilating? And it just, he was out of breath all the time. Now it's running gag. Everybody jokes about that. I just can't get into him. I mean, tonight, the Viking rules. No rules. That's the Viking rules. No rules. Like, just shut up. And then tonight, Wesley. Wasn't there a character like on Benson or something, Wesley? Dominic Mysterio taking on Wesley. Please, get off my TV. You're a nice guy. You seem like you're a nice guy. Maybe I buy you a pint if I ever ever went to your neck of the woods. So Dominic will be taking on Wesley. Tomorrow, Gigi Dolan taking on Kiana James. And then, we got some tag team action going on. Axiom and Scripts, I just can't get into, sorry. Dragon Lee and who's he taking on? Oh, wait, whoa. I can't see my screen. Hold on a second. My screen just went blank on me. Well, you could see it. The NXT preview just disappeared on my screen, but I know that we got. Oh yeah, Los Lotharios are going to be on NXT tomorrow. That's going to be pretty awesome. Tony D'Angelo is going to be returning, and he's teaming up with Stax. People think that they're going to be feuding. It's not going to happen. So they got a pretty loaded NXT tomorrow. When we get into ratings later on, you know, the ratings were pretty good for NXT last week, but I will say this, Judgment Day main eventing, the rating was not as good as I expected it to be. And it's going to be interesting to see what Dominic Mysterio and Wes Lee do tomorrow on NXT. And then Wednesday, don't forget, you got Blood and Guts. I mean, we got Blood and Guts, the Blackpool Combat Club and the Golden Elite. MJF and Adam Cole versus Sammy Guevara and Daniel Garcia. And I guess the winner gets a shot at the tag titles. And you got Hook defending the FTW. I almost said the FTR title. The FTW title gets Jack Perry. So, Nathan Frazier will be teaming up with Dragon Lee to take on Los Lotharios. So, all right. Let's get into Raw, which, like I said, we had the great, the good, the mid. Did we have anything really bad tonight? Maybe Bronson Reed versus Nakamura. Just felt pointless unless maybe Nakamura is going to possibly turn heel. I mean, you know, I want everybody out of my business. Byron, do you understand? I sound French. I don't sound Nakamura. But let's talk about it. Hey, Atlanta, what do you want to talk about? La Nostra Familia. What do you want to talk about? The opening segment for Raw tonight, for me, that is what that was great. Cody Rhodes, Brock Lesnar. I fucking popped when I heard him say those two words. The conversation that we had a week after WrestleMania. Conversation Kevin and I had like 2-3 weeks after WrestleMania. The story that continues up to WrestleMania 40. Cody's finishing this story. You're getting so much dusty and you don't even realize it. And tonight he actually echoed the words, hard times. Pretty cool to see that come full circle. But Cody Rhodes opens up the show tonight. He's in the ring. He's asking Atlanta, Georgia, his home, what do you want to talk about? He's a little emotional tonight because his mom is sitting front row. And he brings up his dad, Dusty. He wish he could have a catchphrase like, funky like a monkey. Everybody thinks the Macho Man used to, ooh, funky like a monkey, yeah. A lot of wrestlers said that back in the day. The word funky was a a good word in the 70s, even the 60s. But he says, I wish I could have a catchphrase like that. But he pretty much gives his mom the credit for basically making him the person that he is today. And he gets very, very emotional about it. His mom is sitting front row. I mean, we've seen his mother, Michelle, in the past. We've seen her on AEW television as well. And Cody starts bringing up Brock Lesnar. And he says, we don't have to talk. Come down to this ring and accept my match at SummerSlam. Get out here right now. Brock doesn't come out. So Cody starts venting a little bit of Brock Lesnar, and he says that Brock many times is fashionably late. He'll wait. Maybe he'll make us wait till 9 p.m. If that's the case, I'll be in the ring waiting. If he makes us wait until 10 p.m., I'll be waiting in this ring. If he waits, makes us wait till the end of Raw, I will be in this ring waiting. And he says, if he could describe the relationship between him and Brock Lesnar, he can describe it in two words: hard times. But it's not going to be hard times for Cody. It's going to be hard times for Brock Lesnar. So Brock doesn't come out. Cody's music hits, and Cody goes down to ringside, hugs his mom, starts walking off, and Brock Lesnar's music hits. And you hear that crowd erupting, which I don't know if it's a soundboard. We've talked about that before. It definitely sounds a little soundboardish, especially when the music hit the second time. That pop sounded almost identical. Almost identical. Music hits. Brock doesn't come out. Cody thinks that Brock is just fucking around with him. So second time around, the music hits, and Cody's like, oh, fuck this. He goes and he runs to the back. And then all of a sudden, we just see a chair fling across, and Brock comes out, and he's chair bashing the shit out of Cody Rhodes. And they make their way back to ringside, and Brock is hitting Cody with repeated chair shots. And it was pretty fucking funny because, especially after he locked the armbar, Brock has these, I'm telling you, man, I've said this for years, and I loved when Omos just said this recently. I mean, I know people get a little bit upset at Brock Lesnar showing up and what he did to Kofi, and people never forgive Brock Lesnar for that, even though that was WWE's decision, not Brock Lesnar's. Brock Lesnar, he sells his facials, the way he does. I mean, yes, he's a monster. You should be a monster. You know, but everything he does, if you look at it closely, even when he takes offense, whether it's from Bobby Lashley or Omos or Cody Rhodes or even Mustafa Ali, you know, back in the day, or Kofi Kingston outside of that match, you know, he sells, and he sells pretty damn good. And when he's having fun, guy's sick, man. But he's got this look on his face. He's beating the shit out of Cody Rhodes. He's at ringside, and Brock Lesnar looks at Cody's mother, and he's like, oh, yeah, why don't you watch this? And then he fucking grabs Cody Rhodes, picks him up, F5s him right in front of his mother. Michelle is very, very concerned. Very, very concerned. Brock Lesnar gets him back in the ring. First, he locks the armbar outside the ring. Then he brings it back inside the ring, puts the armbar on. Cody's in so much pain, he almost passes out from it. Brock Lesnar gets on the microphone, and Brock Lesnar basically says, I'll see you at SummerSlam, bitch, and hits him one more time with the chair to the shoulder, just for good measure. So Brock leaves, and the challenge is accepted. So SummerSlam, you are going to get Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar 3. Couple of matches were made official tonight. For me, that was my favorite segment of the night. To me, I thought that was great. Actually, I lied earlier, not intentionally, but I actually had two segments that I thought were great. I wish this would have lasted more. Gunther versus Riddle. I wish they would have gotten 5 to 10 more minutes on a pay-per-view. I kind of enjoyed this match tonight more than their pay-per-view match. They beat the shit out of each other. For the amount of time that they had, their chests looked like chop meat. Gunther is chopping the shit out of Riddle. Riddle is kicking him. He's hitting him with knees, chopping back, and they're going back and forth. And remember, Imperium was banned from ringside. So Imperium is in the back. They're watching it on the monitor. And, you know, Riddle is holding his own. He's actually not doing bad. The early commercial break is what pissed me off. Because there was so much momentum in this match. There was one point where Gunther almost dropped Riddle right on his head. But these two guys, they work beautifully together. And I tell you, you know, I don't know who said it recently. I don't remember if it was Undertaker. Somebody said recently that Gunther just not only has it, but he seems to, like, work great with everybody. You think about it, that guy seems to work great with everybody. You know, it's reciprocal. And they just battled tonight. I mean, battled nonstop. One point, like I said, Riddle almost dropped on his head. He hits a few kicks, goes for the floating bro. But Gunther gets his knees up, and Gunther hits him with the powerbomb. And gets the win. And let me tell you something. Riddle, yes, he loses more matches than he wins, but this match was fire tonight. That crowd was into it. I tell you, Atlanta, Georgia's crowd tonight was pretty damn good. I mean, obviously it's nowhere near the level of what we've seen in Puerto Rico and the UK or, you know, some other arenas. But they were hot up until the end of Raw, even the main event. The main event, they were eating that shit up. Me sitting at home, the main event feels like rinse and repeat. You know, it just, this time instead of Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio's in the ring. So, but the crowd that was there, they loved everything that they got. This match was awesome tonight. And after the match is over, Gunther gets on the microphone. And he starts trashing the crowd. The crowd is booing the shit out of Gunther. And Gunther is saying to the crowd, tonight is the greatest night of your sad lives because you got to see the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. And Drew, if you want to ride my coattail, you will fall victim like the rest to the ring general. And he walks off. We did not see any further interaction with Vinci. So that is obviously going to have to wait a little bit. But this segment was great. And next week, we are going to have the face-to-face, Drew McIntyre and Gunther. That match for SummerSlam will be made official next week. Again, great, great segment. Really enjoyed it. Thought it was excellent. So now we go to the good. And it really was not bad. I mean, let me tell you something. When I watch matches or prepare myself for matches, I kind of get a feeling or vibe where it's going to go. And I honestly thought that two matches tonight were going to go in more of the mid department. They ended up being a lot better than I expected. First off, we got to talk a little bit about what happened with the women's tag team championships. All right. This was good. First, you have Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley and Raquel Rodriguez. They had a little bit of a confrontation backstage. And this was kind of funny, but not funny because of the injury angle. Basically, Liv Morgan and Raquel are talking about the tag team division and how they're going to beat Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville tonight, and they're going to go on and they're going to beat others. And I think when they got to Katana Chance, I think they said Kayden Carter, and Rhea Ripley shows up, and she says, and Rhea Ripley, So Rhea Ripley gets in the face of Raquel Rodriguez once again. Now, everybody knows how much of a fan I am of Liv Morgan for many reasons, obviously. But this was, I thought this was funny because Liv Morgan came off as annoying. And sometimes when somebody talks too much and they're annoying, you just want to slap them and just shut up. And for those that have access to video, if you look at the screen, when Liv Morgan opens her mouth up, you kind of, if I'm Rhea Ripley, I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up. And then Rhea Ripley does this.
Rhea, I really don't know how many times we have to tell you that we're just not.
Boom. Yeah, that's right. Liv, we love you. But seriously, if somebody was in my house right now, you know, Don Tony, you know, you should use soap when you're in the shower. And in it, fucking headbutt right in the mouth. Liv kind of was a little annoying in that segment. But then they had a little bit of a brawl. Rhea Ripley and Raquel Rodriguez. And, oh, deja vu once again because this happened.
Yeah.
Raquel Rodriguez holding her leg. So now we're thinking, ah, shit. You know, they're going to do some dopey. But the funny thing is, if you remember over the weekend when we were talking about Rhea Ripley's next opponent, we talked about it last night. I said it's going to be Raquel Rodriguez, but it's got to be without her having the tag titles. For the last 7 days, I've said it at least a half a dozen times on the shows. I was rooting for Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, not just because of what Sonya Deville has gone through, and she's worked hard and she's earned it. Chelsea Green, man, I honestly never thought that she was going to fit. I always felt that she was going to fall in that Hit Row, you know, like, listen, she's not like Hit Row. And I don't want anybody to say the obvious. But you look at some of the returns, you know, the Zia Lees, the Candice LeRae's. I mean, they've gotten some polite time, but it just feels like it's never clicked. It's never meshed. Chelsea Green is fit like a glove. So I was rooting for them. So in the back, you have Raquel Rodriguez. Now, I want you to remember this pose. I want you to remember this pose because there's the confrontation. You got the face-to-face, but then you have them in the back. Now, remember this pose and just look at Raquel Rodriguez and how she's sitting. Now the trainer is tending to her left leg. So we get the match, and it's going back and forth. Raquel Rodriguez insists that she's good for the match, and she doesn't want it, you know, thrown out. The last time she tagged up with someone, they had to relinquish the tag titles, and she doesn't want that to happen again. You know, so the match goes on, and Raquel is selling the leg. And ultimately, Liv Morgan gets the hot tag. Liv Morgan clears house. She hits Oblivion on Sonya Deville. Chelsea Green with Sonya Deville breaks it up. Liv Morgan gets thrown in the ropes. Sonya Deville hits her with a little cheap shot. We think right then and there we may have the end of the match. And Chelsea Green hits an unpretty her for only a two count. So now you're thinking, oh, okay, maybe Liv and Raquel will retain the titles after all. But I got really mad at something. And I want you to look at your screen. I find it cute when people alter a screen to try to cover up something that might come off a little negative. Something I did not like about the match. Even though I rooted for Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville all week, I didn't like this finish, and I'll show you why. If you look at your screen and you look closely, you see the referee in the back. Look at the referee in the back. Why? See the unprettier? Chelsea Green is not the legal person. And the referee is doing a best impersonation of Aubrey Edwards. What are you, a bushwhacker? Like, it's not her fault, obviously. It's WWE to be creative. Chelsea Green hits the ring, and the referee, instead of going, no, you get out of the ring. No, she just stands there and does an Aubrey Edwards. So she hits an unprettier to Liv Morgan. Sonya Deville pins Liv Morgan. 1, 2, 3. And you're new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. And they got pyro. They got some pyro. that I thought was pretty fucking cool. I'm very, very happy for them. And you remember I said earlier that pose of Raquel Rodriguez after the match is over? Liv Morgan is not too thrilled. And there is, let's see it. There you go. Deja vu all over again. My leg hurts so much that I'll just sit outside the ring and lose the tag team titles. So it was good. It was good. It could have been better, but it was good. And the outcome is the right outcome. I know there's a lot of people out there tonight that feel, oh, where did you put the belts? Do you remember last week that we said that Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez may end up being transitional champs because they want to put it back on a pair of heels? Because Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, they were supposed to have a long run, but Ronda's going to be leaving soon. So they're like, take the titles off of them, put on another pair of heels. So a week ago, we thought Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez may actually be transitional champions. Sure enough, that's what ended up happening. But you know what? Congratulations to both of them. They won the tag titles. I enjoyed it. You know, could have been better, but it was good. I don't think anybody would doubt that. Something else that I thought was very, very good. That was the segment with Finn Balor and Seth Rollins. Now, I got to be honest with you. If Seth Rollins would have laughed once, I would have been pissed the fuck off. I would have been pissed the fuck off. Seth Rollins is being interviewed by Byron Saxton. Because earlier in the night, we'll get to Judgment Day. Because we had two big segments tonight. Judgment Day, earlier in the night, Finn Balor says that he won't stop until his arm is raised against Seth Rollins. He wants to be champion. So Seth Rollins is going to rebut this with Byron Saxton. So he's having a little bit of a conversation, and Byron Saxton says, who's your next challenger? And Seth Rollins name drops Finn Balor's still worthy, Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre. And Finn Balor shows up and says, okay, Byron, get out of here. So now we get Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. They are sitting face to face. And Finn Balor wants a rematch. And here is where I'm saying to myself, please, Seth, please don't laugh. We don't need no laughing in this segment. Finn Balor and Seth Rollins are staring at each other. Finn Balor wants another shot. Seth Rollins says, you're living in the past. Finn Balor says, I'm living in the chaos. I'm going to take your title. I'm going to laugh in your face. I'm going to ruin your life. And Seth Rollins looks at Finn Balor, and Seth Rollins says, the World Heavyweight Championship is bigger than both of us. If you want to settle the score, we can do it right here, right now. Take your shot or get out of my face. So Finn Balor gets up, and you think we're going to have a brawl, and Finn Balor backs off. Finn Balor wants his rematch, but Finn Balor backs off, and we think it's the end of the segment. So Finn Balor walks off. Seth Rollins looks at the camera, and he's taking off the microphone. He says, are we done? And then out of nowhere, he got the hand up at the last second. Finn Balor returns and lays out Seth Rollins. Finn Balor just looks at, I guess it's Adam Pearce or whoever was there, and he said, make the match. Make the match for SummerSlam. And later on, we would learn that, yes, they would make the match. I thought it was a very good segment. Was it excellent? No. It was very good. Thank God. I just didn't want, Finn. Try to take a shot at my chinny chin chin. We didn't need that tonight. We didn't get it. Thank God. All right. Something else that I like tonight. I tell you, I prepared myself for this to be mid. I wrote it in a mid category. And then as it went on, I said, you know, this actually isn't half bad. You kind of were concerned when Titus O'Neil goes to ringside. Titus O'Neil is kind of like a deterrent It's like when you're sitting outside and you know that there's bugs around and you put that, you light up that yellow candle stuff and it doesn't really do much, but it's kind of like a little bit of a deterrent, kind of maybe get your mind off the fact that there's like nasty mosquitoes slinging. That's what Titus O'Neil, that's what his job is to kind of like divert your attention, not solely on the match. You're like, you listen to him, you feel a little better. Titus O'Neil brightens up people's days. So this match is going on. And Kevin Patrick, you know, ruins it early on by saying, you know, what are the Viking rules? No rules. The Viking rules. No rules. That almost sounds like something like, and I don't like going political anymore. That almost sounds like something that Donald Trump would say at a prep rally. Am I wrong? What are the rules? There are no rules. My rules? There are no rules. What are the rules? There are no. It was just stupid. And then when the Alpha Academy come out, I'm like looking at ringside, and apparently Viking Rules is having a wooden boat. A wooden boat with, I guess, a dragon on top of it. So, you know, let's fight on the boat. So I'm preparing myself for the worst. And it was not bad. It was not bad at all. We get, you know, a lot of back and forth. You know, crowd is into it. And early on, we get a little love for the Dudley boys. Otis goes to Chad and says, Chad, get the tables. And because crowd was, it was kind of funny early on because you got the Viking rules. You got the boat. You got the dragon, got the shields, and the biggest pop with the tables. Like nothing that the Vikings brought out got big pop. People wanted tables. Fuck the boat. Fuck the shields. You know, just give me a table. So they pull the tables out. They put it in the corner. So you know somebody's going to get a shot in the corner. I don't think anybody expected us to see who went through the table tonight. So they're going back and forth. One moment that I thought was kind of stupid. Otis hits a beautiful side slam to Eric. And then later on, Eric goes for a moonsault on Otis. And my God, his size, crowd goes nuts. So now Eric is going for a pin on Otis. Chad Gable breaks up the pin. How does he break up the pin? Let me climb the top rope and do a moonsault and have 230 pounds fall not only on top of Eric, but fall on top of my tag team partner as well. Why? Because that's friendly fire. The bullet doesn't hurt any less. I mean, I thought that was stupid. You know, like, all you got to do is just, like, bump into the guy and the referee stops the count. He climbs the top rope but does a moonsault that lands flush on Eric and Otis. Or Ivar, excuse me. So that's how he breaks up the two count. But Chad starts showing off his impressive strength. He hits a beautiful suplex on Ivar. Then he hits a diving headbutt onto Eric. Goes for the pin, but Valhalla breaks it up. This was another kind of dumb segment. Valhalla breaks up the two count. And while this is happening, Maxine Dupri is climbing the top rope. And if you watch Valhalla, she's literally standing in the corner watching Maxine Dupri climb the rope. And she literally does something like this. All right, watch my eyes. She literally just did this. And she literally watched her go up the rope and she dives onto Valhalla. So she takes out Valhalla and Chad sees the jacket. Remember last week, Valhalla took the jacket? Well, Chad sees the jacket. Chad gives the jacket back to Maxine Dupri. And they're in the ring. Oh, thank you! And then this happens. Watch your screen. Valhalla spears Maxine Dupri through the table in the corner. It looked great. It looked great. The crowd popped for it big time. Chad Gable ends up getting laid out with one of the Viking shields. So now it's just Otis in the ring against both members of the Viking Raiders. And you kind of know where this is going at this point. Otis battles for a little while, but unfortunately, Viking Raiders get the upper hand. A little bit of a weak-looking powerbomb. They get the win. You know, not a bad match. Crowd was fucking into this big time. I couldn't believe how much into it. And, oh, and then after the match was over, we get smoke. Who wants the smoke? Because a dragon lets out fire and smoke. Obviously, the dragon's not going to let out fire. But crowd enjoyed it a hell of a lot more than I thought that they would. And I thought it was good. It really did not stink up the joint. Another segment that we had that I thought was okay. Ricochet. Kept it short, kept it sweet. You know, he says that Logan Paul is a joke. Issues a challenge. Show up next week. So that was kind of like a wet fart. But at least you know next week they're going to set up the SummerSlam match. You kind of feel like maybe they should have set up the SummerSlam match last week. But then again, some people may say, oh, that's too far away from SummerSlam. Let's wait a week or two. So next week, Logan Paul, Ricochet, another face-to-face, that's going to lead to a match at SummerSlam. But again, you know, short, sweet, to the point, out of there. Shayna Baszler, she got a mid, and she also got a good. The mid was the match. Choked out Nikki Cross almost immediately. Didn't like it. You know, we know why they have to do that. To me, I thought that was mid. What followed after, I thought was great. Ronda Rousey's in the rafters. And she's just chilling. You know, and I've realized, I think I've figured out some of Ronda Rousey's problem. Ronda Rousey, when she cuts promos, she says too many words. I don't think you misunderstand what I'm saying. Like, if you listen to her, like, make a point, something that should be said in 10 words, she says it in 35. And even tonight, when she's running, you know, her mouth off on Shayna Baszler, you know, when she said, you know, like, you're Ronda Rousey ripoff, that's fine. You're a Ronda Rousey ripoff. 5 words. Now, I have to say nothing else. She starts talking, and she adds sentences, and like, oh, no wonder why people fall asleep. You know, it's like somebody gets paid by the word. You know, she talks too long. Tonight, a little better. Ronda Rousey, a little cocky. She's all the way up in the rafters in the skybox, and Shayna Baszler is in the ring, and Shayna Baszler getting the pop. You know, it's a little bizarro because Shayna Baszler chokes out Nikki Cross. Yeah, she didn't hold on to the move, and the referee's trying to pull her off and everything, but Shayna Baszler's getting clear-cut babyface pops out of this whole feud that they're having. But Shayna Baszler is looking up in the rafters, and she wants to go at it with Ronda Rousey. And she's telling Ronda Rousey, you know, get in this ring and let's finish this. Ronda Rousey running, you know, the mouth on Shayna Baszler, calling her a Ronda Rousey ripoff. And Shayna Baszler saying that I'm a better Ronda Rousey than you are, whatever that means. Get in the ring and let's finish this. And Ronda says, nah. Nah, instead, Ronda Rousey says, I'm going to do something for you that you were unable to do for yourself. I'm going to get you a match at SummerSlam. And she says, I'll see you in the Motor City, bitch. So Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, should be on for SummerSlam. So I thought the match was mid, but I thought the segment was good. Crowd was into it. Ronda, you kept at a reasonable pace. I honestly think, in hindsight, Ronda Rousey's mic work with Shayna might be like the best that she's had in a couple of years. Still, you know, a little Xanax-y, if you know what I mean. But I think it did what it needed to do. All right, what else do we have tonight on Raw? I think, oh yeah, we got to talk... about Miz TV. But before we talk about Miz TV, you know what? This was a good segment, too. Like, we could bring this up. I was fearing the worst for this as well. Becky Lynch on Miz TV. And Miz opens up, and he's throwing insults to Becky Lynch. And he says to her, he goes, it must be nice to sit next to a winner because you lost to Trish. Then you lost Money in a Bank. You lost last week to Zoe Stark. Have you lost a step? And early on, Becky Lynch with a little bit too much overreacting. I've lost titles. I've lost this. I've lost weight. She didn't say I lost weight, but she talks about losing a whole bunch of shit. She says, but I have not lost a step. And Miz is backing off almost like she's got bad fucking breath or COVID is still around. Miz is getting out of Dodge. She tosses Miz's chairs from Miz TV out of the ring. She's pissed off. And she says, Miz, I know how these segments work. Bring Trish out here before you lose your tiny little testicles. And here comes the crowd with the tiny balls chants once again. Then we get a segment that was good, you know, and had a little bit of corny moments, but Trish Stratus and Zoe Stark, they come out and they hit the ring. Becky wants a rematch. And Becky is running her mouth off on Trish Stratus, and she's trying to do everything possible to get Trish Stratus to agree to a match. And she's saying, you know, like, you're a narcissist, and if you, you know, this is all about you, I've been here longer than you, and you consider yourself the greatest, the legend, just face me one more time. And Becky's going on, and I think maybe Trish was just like, all right, I'm getting a headache. Trish's like, all right, I'll face you. But under a few conditions. And the conditions, once it went past the first one, it fell off the rails. Because the first condition is if you beat Zoe Stark next week and Becky Lynch says, done. Then Trish Stratus says, if Zoe beats you next week, then you have to get on your knees and say, thank you, Trish. Now, even if Becky would have lost next week, she still could have gotten the match against Trish if you listen carefully. Because if Zoe wins next week, Becky just has to go on her knees and say, thank you, Trish. And that's one of the conditions. Then Trish says, you're also going to have to tattoo on your chest, thank you, Trish. And Trish says, done. And ultimately leads to a brawl. They grab the mask, and Becky chases them out of there, and Trish Stratus no longer has the mask. She don't need the mask anymore. She had it for a short period of time, but she doesn't need the mask anymore. She gets out of Dodge, Trish, Zoe. So next week, we're going to have Zoe Stark versus Becky Lynch. And, you know, if she wins, that's it. Rematch is set, done. It was good. It was good. Was it great? No. But it was good enough. All right. This was mid. I didn't like it. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Big Bronson Reed. Big. I keep thinking they're going to get rid of Bronson and they're going to call him Big Reed. Big Reed. Big Reed, and I'm like, Big Red, Big Reed, Big Red, and I was like, he kind of reminds me of the gum. So I did a little bit of quick Photoshopping tonight. Let me see my Photoshop. Where's my Photoshop? There we go, let's see my Photoshop. You're not cooperating. Hey, you're cooperating. There's my Big Reed gum. I have to recenter it, but kind of reminded me of Big Reed gum. Shinsuke Nakamura requested this match tonight, and it was an okay match, but Tommaso Ciampa shows up, causes a disqualification. Tommaso Ciampa is so angry at the gum that he shows up at the end of the match and attacks Bronson. I'm so mad, I'm going to let Bronson Reed beat up Nakamura for 5 or 6 minutes, and then I'll show up. So he causes the disqualification. Bronson Reed realizes he wins the match, and Shinsuke Nakamura is not happy. So Tommaso Ciampa is in the ring. You kind of sensed where this was going. And while Tommaso Ciampa is standing next to Nakamura, Nakamura's like this. And then Nakamura is like, oh, good. Yeah, that's what you get, Ciampa, for looking the other way. Ciampa, what are you looking at? You're looking at somebody in the front row. Like, what are you looking at? Seriously, you're in the middle of the fucking ring. What are you looking at? Seriously, why would you look the other way? Did somebody just flash their tits to you? Seriously, was there ice cream? Did you see Gargano in the front row? What are you looking at? You deserve to get kicked in the mouth. So, to me, a waste of time. Did not like it at all. So, that leaves us with the Judgment Day. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Earlier in the night, we get a segment with the Judgment Day. They hit the ring. And each one gets a little moment on the microphone. Rhea Ripley talks about how she's dominating the women's division, how they are running Monday Night Raw. Damian Priest touting the briefcase, Money in the Bank. Dominic doesn't get to say anything as usual. And Finn Balor will not rest until he gets Seth Rollins. And then this leads to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And Kevin Owens is there. Sami Zayn says to the Atlanta crowd, did you pay your money to hear Dominic Mysterio talk? Or did you pay your money to see someone shut Dominic Mysterio up? And the crowd is going nuts. We get a little bit of back and forth. And Damian Priest says, hey, why don't you two put your titles up on the line tonight? Because originally it was a non-title match between Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. So Sami Zayn says, you know what? I'm going to let my partner answer your challenge. And he says, go ahead, Kev, let loose. Kev's like, really? It's okay? Sami's like, yeah, let loose. So Kevin Owens, he looks a little cool, calm, collected. He says, I don't care what you do. As long as I get put my foot on your chest, as soon as I shut up Dominic Mysterio. And he just, you know, he's on speed once again. And he accepts the challenge, so the tag titles will be on the line tonight. And we get the main event. And, you know, look, as a fan sitting at home, a little bit of rinse and repeat. But what we got on TV, the crowd really, really enjoyed. And when you feel that excitement and that energy at home, it does lift you up a little bit as well. Crowd was really into this match. I mean, forget just the This Is Awesome chance. When Rollins came out to take out Balor early on, because early on in the match, Balor was in the ring and Seth Rollins shows up, dives onto Balor, pretty much takes him out of the match. So Balor is a non-factor. So we know we're getting no swerves tonight. We're not getting any dissension between Priest and Balor. And honestly, in the last 2 weeks, we haven't seen any sign of it. Even when they wrestled in NXT, pretty much cohesive unit. But Rollins takes out Balor early on, and we get your usual Raw main event. We've had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Judgment Day. Sometimes it's 2-on-2. Sometimes Riddle is part of it, or Cody Rhodes, or Seth Rollins, and then you have all three guys in it. We've had that variation a lot. A lot. I think there's some fans out there that are kind of sick of this consistent pairing. You did have some comedy segments tonight. There was one point in the match that Rhea Ripley thought that the Judgment Day was getting the upper hand. It almost felt like a recycle of like a month ago. You remember when Rhea Ripley wasn't looking and Seth Rollins came outside the ring and she turned around. She thought she was hugging Dom and she turned around. She freaked out. This was like another one of those comedy segments where Rhea Ripley this time, she's looking at the fans. She thinks the Judgment Day have the upper hand. And then she goes and she turns around and she looks in the ring and she realizes, oh, no. And she actually was sadly mistaken. And she's like, ugh. Isn't that like, you know, when I look at that, we got to go back a picture. Doesn't this look like Like, if you get a DM from somebody, you know, same sex, opposite sex, whatever floats your boat, and like, hey, I think you're cute. You know, maybe we should get together. And they, like, kind of, like, describe themselves, and they're, like, 5'2", 135 pounds, you know, 38 triple Ds, whatever it is. You know, I got long black hair. And then you're thinking, like, wow, you know, this person sounds pretty hot. And then you're like, yeah, let's hook up. And then they finally show you a picture, and then you're like, ooh, what the, yeah. A little catfishing there. So you get that typical Rhea Ripley comedy segment that we've seen repeatedly. We did have a fun moment where Dominic Mysterio was outside the ring, and Kevin Owens, not mocking Eddie Guerrero, but mocking Dominic Mysterio, does a little bit of a shimmy and does the frog splash to the outside on the Dominic. Not easy to get these clips and then go live 3 minutes after Raw. Let me make that clear. But, you know, we get a fun match. And towards the end of the match, Kevin Owens is nowhere to be found. Dominic Mysterio is nowhere to be found. Sami Zayn is on the middle rope, and the crowd is getting behind Zayn. And Damian Priest, with a Hurricanrana off the middle rope, goes for a pin and gets two in like 99 and 100s. So finally, Sami Zayn gets the upper hand. Here comes Dom once again. Dominic Mysterio tries to get involved. Sami Zayn immediately tosses him out. Then we get Kevin Owens, who finally returns, and he hits a cannonball outside the ring onto Dominic. Sami Zayn dives outside the ring onto Dominic. And while this is going on, Rhea Ripley throws Kevin Owens into the ring steps. So now for a brief moment, you're thinking to yourself, oh, shit. You know, maybe could they possibly lose the tag titles tonight? So Dominic gets a fruit roll-up for a two. And Rhea is trying to distract the referee, and you hear this pop from the crowd. That noise that somebody came out and is run. Now, you know whoever it is running down ringside, and it's not going to be Raquel Rodriguez because she can't run right now. It ends up being Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan runs down to ringside. She starts attacking Rhea Ripley. She clotheslines Rhea Ripley over the guardrail. So that leaves Dominic Mysterio in the ring alone with Kevin Owens, who stuns him, and then Sami Zayn with a huluva kick. And they get the 1, 2, 3, and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn retain the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. And we go off the air as they're reigning, defending WWE Undisputed Tag Team Champions. So next week, Becky Lynch versus Zoe Stark. If she wins, she gets the match at SummerSlam. If she loses, she's got to go on her knees and get tattooed on her chest. Thank you, Trish, which we know is not happening. Next week, Drew McIntyre and Gunther. We'll have a little face-to-face, and as they announced, Logan Paul will return next week. He will have the confrontation with Ricochet that will set up the SummerSlam match. This Friday, we're going to have the rules of engagement. Whatever that means, it's going to set up the match at SummerSlam. And speaking of SummerSlam, as of right now, confirmed matches and rumored matches. This is what you line up. Is starting to form into Roman Reigns defending the undisputed WWE Universal Championship against Jey Uso. Seth Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor. That was confirmed earlier tonight. Looks like we are good to get Asuka versus Bianca Belair versus Charlotte for the Women's Championship. We're probably going to get Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley for the Women's Championship. For the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Drew McIntyre. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus. Ricochet versus Logan Paul. And the United States Championship. Austin Theory versus somebody. And everybody wants it to be LA Knight. And I hope so. I hope so. I think LA Knight may actually defeat Austin Theory. You know, I get this weird feeling I could picture at SummerSlam that WWE wants to just fuck with everyone just one more time. That crowd, man, they would be pissed the fuck off. And I said this weekend, talking about the Writers Guild strike, if The Rock is not doing anything, maybe we get a Grayson Waller effect at SummerSlam with special guest The Rock. You know, The Rock can appear and not interact with Roman Reigns. I know everybody wants to see the interaction, but if The Rock shows up, he can have the Grayson Waller segment and not have anything with Roman Reigns whatsoever. So it's stacked. And we didn't even talk about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's championship. You know, so there's more that, and SummerSlam, you know, does it go 4 hours? Probably. But keep in mind, SmackDown the night before, one or two of these matches that I said just now could end up being on SmackDown the night before. So you got to take note of that. So, and if they do happen, you know, not everybody could make the SummerSlam. So we'll see. The main event matches from tonight, Apollo Crews over JD McDonagh, Riddick Moss over Akira Tozawa. So those were your matches earlier today. Very quickly, let me give you some ratings, give you a little preview for this week in wrestling history, and we're going to get out of here. So ratings from last week. Raw last week did 1,000,809, which was slightly down from the week prior's 1,000,828. This has been pretty consistent. NXT last week did 671,000 viewers, up from the week prior's 508. 508, 4th of July, understandable. The high point of NXT last week was Damian Priest and Finn Balor versus Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Believe it or not, only did 715,000 viewers. A little surprising that it was that low. I expected it to be in the eights at minimum, especially since Seth did over 9. The low point of the night, Stacks versus Joe Coffey and the segment with the Schism and Ivy Nile that did 635. But, you know, not that far off. Pretty consistent rating throughout the night. Dynamite last week did 825,000 viewers, down from the week prior is 855. High point from last week's NXT was MJF and Adam Cole versus Brian Cage and Big Bill. That did 884,000 viewers. The low point of last week's Dynamite was a tie. It was Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara and Daniel Garcia. And I thought it was cute what some people did. Swerve Strickland and Nick Wayne, both of those quarters did 782. But I guess people didn't want Nick Wayne to be hurt that he was tied for the lowest quarter of the night. So they added 2,000 viewers. But if you actually look at the non-wrestling rating sites, it was a tie. Just saying. So Nick Wayne and Swerve Strickland, they tied for the lowest. And take note, this is more than once in the last 2 months that Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin are part of the lowest parts of the night. You know, it says something there. New Japan last week did 56,000 viewers, slightly up from the week prior's 53. Impact last week did 128,000 viewers, slightly up from last week, the week prior's 122. Rampage this past Friday did a paltry 310,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 368. The high point from this past Friday, and I feel bad, but I got to call like it is. Athena and Willow, they got, how do I say this the right way? They got the double whammy last week. I'll tell you why. The high point for Friday's Rampage was Dustin Rhodes and Keith Lee versus 2.0. That did 353,000 viewers. The lowest point of Rampage Friday was Athena versus Willow Nightingale to determine who goes to the final in the Owen Hart tournament. That only did 275,000 viewers. Collision, the week prior, Athena and Willow Nightingale, their segment to lead up to their Rampage match, and Bambi Hall and Julie Hart, they both tied, or they're both part of the lowest quarter of Collision the week before. That only did 557,000 viewers. So you had two AEW shows, two out of three, where Willow and Athena were part of the lowest part of the night. And we're just calling like we see it. And SmackDown this past Friday did 2,309,000 viewers, down from the week prior is 2,561,000. And that's pretty much it. Stone Cold takes on America did 201, slightly up from the 181. We talked about that already. Tomorrow we'll have some additional numbers come out. Collision from this weekend. I'm really curious to see what Collision did this weekend. That two out of three falls with FTR versus Jay White and Juice Robinson. That had to have kept the rate. I'm very curious to see how that continued into quarter two or quarter three. I want to see how they maintain the viewers. I think it probably steadily grew. So we'll see. All right, before I jet, Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, This Week in Wrestling History will drop. I just pulled a couple of random photos from that preview. Just spur in a moment reaction to these photos. I know This Week in History is the anniversary of the great portrayal, Paul Orndorff turning on Hulk Hogan. I do remember that there's a couple of very rare promos from Hogan and Paul Orndorff that were not, I believe, on regular TV, but I actually got access to them, and I know that they're on this show. Also, This Week in History, Invasion went down. WCW and ECW versus the WWF. You got to go out of your way and look at the pay-per-view buy rate if you're not aware of it yet. It is the insane, the pay-per-view. When people say that the Invasion pay-per-view was a disappointment, awful, not very good, I've heard all different reactions throughout the years. I say to myself, the people that were on that show were advertised. It's not like they just said Team WCW versus Team WWF. We knew who was going to compete. And the buy rate was, what, a little under a million buys? Insane. Insane. Got to go check that out. I know I covered on the show. This Week in History, Hulk Hogan made his WCW debut, defeating Ric Flair to become the WCW World Heavyweight Champion. We definitely covered that. What else do we got? Oh, my favorite part of the entire history show. The infamous promo where John Cena called out The Undertaker and took a piss on The Undertaker's tombstone. You will hear the promo. We will talk about what led up to it. John Cena, epic in this segment with The Undertaker. That is one of my favorite segments of all time. This Week in History, Vince McMahon won the steroids trial, found not guilty. Definitely big news there. This Week in History, this is awesome. I promise you, you will get a treat that I guarantee you never heard before because it only aired in Canada. The Mountie, all right? The Mountie. It had such controversy in Canada, Jacques Rougeau was not allowed to play the Mountie character in Canada. Not only was it banned in Canada, but they threatened arrest if he continued to mock the Canadian military. So a week after this threat was made from Canada, he cut a promo in the United States. I am the Mountie! And then when it aired in Canada, he had to cut another promo where he said, I am Jacques Rougeau. And, yeah, I play them side by side. It's a legit story. That news article I got firsthand. I tried to get the newspaper clipping so people could see in real time what happened. Bruiser Brody was killed this week in history. We definitely cover that. We talk about that in detail. This Week in History, Daniel Bryan was announced as SmackDown GM and Mick Foley was announced as Raw GM. So there's a little history there. This Week in History, Sabu made his NWA TNA debut. Very cool to see a young Sinister Minister Crowbar, Jerry Tutte. Yeah, rest in peace, Jerry Tutte. So that is a memorable moment. That might be 20 years ago. Oh, look at that. This Week in History, Edge and Vicky Guerrero were supposed to get married. Who ruined that wedding? Was it Triple H and someone else? I know he definitely ruined that wedding. Goldberg, Triple H, face-to-face, This Week in History. Definitely something that we were very interested in seeing. How do you like that one? This Week in History, Daniel Bryan proposed AJ Lee to get married. Bizarro Land. We play the whole segment. Yeah, that happened this week in history. I think we're closely done with these photos. Oh, my God. The worst haircut of all time, Raven Larry Zbysko. So what that's all about, Don West was having a great time in the background. Brainbusters made history this week. I think they surpassed Demolition as far as some championship run, so you got to tune in for that. I think it might be a combined reign, but that definitely is history. Sable and Stephanie McMahon had a wild brawl this week in history. That is Sable, everyone, and that is Stephanie with, I never liked that haircut. That haircut was probably the worst haircut that she ever had. So that happens this week. We cover that. Oh, and CM Punk wins the WWE Championship and kisses goodbye to Vince McMahon and runs off into the crowd. Do you notice something different about this photo, everyone? Anybody remembers when I first did this history show will remember what I did. I photoshopped that fuck out of the picture. Anybody remember that guy wearing, I think he was wearing a CM Punk shirt. And he had this weird look on his face. Like every time I saw this picture, I would like focus on that fan. I photoshopped him out of the picture. So yeah, if you look at the original picture, you'll see what I'm talking about. And what else we got? Oh, was this the Bruise Cruise? This was an infamous cruise that the WWF did. That there was a little bit of partying going on. And if you look to the right, you see Bret Hart sitting next to a certain blonde. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. That is a photo from that cruise, by the way. So we try to get into some rare stuff. Oh, Phantasmo. The only appearance he ever made on WWF TV happened this week in history. Phantasmo, one of the worst gimmicks of all time, and he only made one appearance. One appearance, everyone. Look at the legacy that he left. When you look at all those What Culture videos on YouTube and he is listed on there, keep in mind that he was only on TV once. Once. They're milking the shit out of that guy, man. They're milking his prostate. Oh, Lucha Days. It's a Lucha thing, everyone. Anybody remember Kalisto a couple of years ago? It's a Lucha thing. Yeah, we revisit that. That happened this week in history. And the worst match I think I've ever seen in wrestling, other than my own. Jenna Maraska taking on Mel. TNA Victory Road 2009. None against the wife of Booker T. The worst women's wrestling match. I mean, as far as professionals go, the worst women's match in history. I remember that time Jenna Maraska cursed us out. Kevin and I did an episode, and we were like, why the fuck did they hire? They think they're going to get some Jersey Shore exposure from it. I remember she said something online like, fuck off. I don't remember exactly like how she said it, but she pretty much said to us, she said, fuck off. And we were like, don't worry, we're not ordering it. And we didn't order it. So, yeah, that was the worst women's match in history. And that's it. That is it. So, what happened to Kalisto in AEW? Your guess is as good as mine. I think he had, what, the one-time appearance? Didn't he like hype his own shit, like made it seem like his worth was more, or AEW. I remember somebody, and I think it might be Kalisto, he rubbed somebody the wrong way. I could swear that somebody that was in WWE had an incident in AEW where, you know, and I could swear it was Kalisto. I got to do a little research. Maybe if I remember, I'll talk about it Wednesday. So, Gruss, Jeff Hardy and Sting was worse, but like I said the worst women's match. Worst professional women's match. As far as I know, Sting and Jeff Hardy do not have female body parts. So, no, worst women's match. So, my friends, I'm going to get out of here. I am tired. I'm battling a little bit of a cold. I hope that it gets better by tomorrow. Tomorrow, Kevin, I will be live on Patreon at 10:05. So if you're part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, you could be part of the taping. And after Kevin and I's, my segment is done, I will be doing a regular show as well. So you get a twofer tomorrow. And then we'll see about Wednesday. I don't know what we're going to do about Wednesday Night Dynamite this week, because Tuesday we're dedicating at least an hour to AEW. And that might end up replacing Wednesday Night Dynamite just for this week. So we'll see. If there's big news, I mean, obviously Blood and Guts is a big deal. Some crazy shit's supposed to go down. So if we don't cover it Wednesday night, we'll cover it over the weekend. And one last thing before I go, other than thank you. Saturday, we started at noon instead of 11 a.m. And a lot of people liked that a little bit later of a start time, especially those that live in a different time zone. So I think we're going to bring back 12 noon again for this Saturday, and then we'll go from there. So if you normally tune into the Saturday show, 12 noon should be the start time. So, everyone, let me know what you thought about Raw. Post it in the comment section. I read everybody's. I get back to as many as I possibly can. Others definitely acknowledge and see what you guys are posting as well. And something I forgot to do yesterday that I'm mad. I'm mad because nobody reminded me either. The week before, I asked everyone to tell me who they felt was their, they felt was the most beautiful woman in AEW right now, NXT and WWE. And quite a few of you responded with some really interesting answers. So this Sunday, I will make the list and we will tally it up and we will see, based on your choices, who you feel is the sexiest woman in AEW, NXT, WWE, and maybe I'll give you mine. Maybe I'll give you my choices as well. So that'll be this Sunday. So my friends, if you enjoyed the show, give it a thumbs up. If you know anyone out there that might like the channel, let them know. Subscribe. If you want to be a channel member, by all means, join the family. And I'll be back tomorrow. If you're not on Patreon, tomorrow night between midnight and 1 a.m., you should see our episode and enjoy it. Much love, and thank you everyone who enjoyed last week's show. We had a blast doing it. 3 hours flew by, and man, I think we hit on all cylinders talking about the WWE and NXT roster. AEW's roster, now obviously we're not going to get into the obvious people out there that we know has gone up. We're talking about those that might be a little controversial. You know, I always throw Hangman Page as choice number one. I think his stock has gone down significantly over the last 12 months. This guy should be on TV main eventing and not just getting stuck in tag team matches and almost non-existent. There's quite a few people like that. So we'll talk about it tomorrow. I'm out of here, everyone. Much love, and I'll talk to you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.